You just need to be aware of them as meridians. So that's why I'm going through them like this and saying, look, this is a meridian, just as much as a spleen meridian is a meridian with internal branches and trajectories and all the rest of it. This is one. And because it's using points from other meridians, they've tended to be glossed over, but they're actually a meridian all by themselves. And if you look at the yin wei, just as I said before, the yang wei couples up these meridians. The yin wei is going to be coupling up the spleen, the kidney, the liver, I can't remember what else it was, and the conception vessel. Okay, so that's coupling up the deep yin in the body. So I'm not necessarily going to be coupling it. In fact, I do that very infrequently. But I'm utilising the ideas, and I think we all are when we're just putting in pericardium 6 to calm someone down. Okay, we can look at the actions of the points. But we're actually, if you like, opening up the yin wei meridian, and of course it's opening the chest up, and then we might be putting in CV17, we might be doing all sorts of things. But to strengthen that treatment, if we're wanting to tonify the person and build up their blood and or their yin, perhaps if we also tonify kidney 9, because that's the beginning point of the meridian that's actually attached to that pericardium 6. And that's what I'm trying to get to today, that, hey, think a bit outside the 12 meridian idea, and you'll find your treatments are going to be a lot stronger. Anybody had any experience with yin wei mo? We've all left it alone because it's a peripheral. Have you done something with them?
Well, in the past, it's purely been for women, that's more of an emotional problem,
Settle them down. You mean as in coupling the meridian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it really just seems to bring out an emotional release quite markedly. And it will be back to me. At the time, I thought that was good. And if things are clear.
Were they better long term, do you think? We don't know.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. Okay. So another way of doing it would be to just put pericardium 6 in and then perhaps do some massage around here. And again, you know, if you're into different oils and so forth, you might be fiddling around like that. Okay, so there's the yin wei. So that's incredibly increasing your ability to work on cardiac, not so much the physical cardiac, because that is the chung department. We're looking more at the emotional cardiac, which is the yang wei. Okay, now we're going to go into the chow vessels. These are as different from the wei as you could get. Has anyone got any bright ideas on what the chow do? Somebody? Okay. Now we know that the bladder like so, and the kidney one goes like so. Vessels, they mainly work on the lateral or the medial sides of the legs and the eyes. Chow works on the abdomen. The yang chow works on the head. What we're looking at a lot of the time is neurological. Now I know we're going to get into neurological with Zoom. And with yang chow, it's more neurological. And yin chow, it's also neurological, plus also it might be genital. When I say neurological, at not just frank brain damage from birth or developmental delay, but we might be looking at people with strokes, we might be looking at people who've had head injury from, I don't know, car accidents, or epilepsy is a really big one. And so what you're going to do with somebody who's epileptic might be just work on either the master or couple point, the master point of one or the other. But it's a matter of working out which ones you're going to do. So another major thing is sleeping problems. Now, I don't know if any of you have had anything to do with people with neurological problems, but generally sleeping goes kaput. If somebody's got a brain tumour, you see it's the same. You're going to be starting to see the wasting on one side of a chow vessel relative to the other. And again, you'll see these chows are bunching together groups of main meridians. So if we look first at the yang chow, that's more going to be indicated when somebody has got insomnia, because we're going to be looking at excess yang in head. Okay, it's like we've got a blockage and it's more up in the top. Now, beforehand you'd have been saying, okay, this is liver yang rising. Yeah, that's right. But another way of going about this is to say our yang chao is not functioning properly. These two have to be in balance. So it might be a tricky thing to try and work out how to put them both in balance, because you might be seeing mixed signals. In using the yang chao, we've got to look at the points on it first. Now again, this is another up the leg job. We're going to be starting either at bladder 61 or 62, going up to bladder 59, which is the accumulation point, up to gallbladder 29, and then across the small intestine 10, colon 15 area, the same as the yang way. And then up this time, the yang way went on the gallbladder points, this one here is going on the stomach points on the face, up to bladder 1, and then over to gallbladder 20. Now I would say it's also going to be crossing at yin tang, although that's not mentioned on there. So this again is important, because when you're looking at the average person who's feeling, I don't know, maybe they've got back problems, maybe they're irritated, they've got excess tension. Again, we might be looking at opening up this shoulder area here, and in so doing, just by doing that, we might be able to free the excess that's going on in the head. And that by itself may or may not help with their sleeping problems. And we're also looking at the epilepsy and the general neurological problems, which might be from a brain tumour or, I don't know about Parkinson's, I think then more you're looking at the degenerative stuff at a DUMO situation. So what one book said was that the bladder meridian divides in the brain to become yin and yang chao, which cross and converge at emerge at bladder 1. So it's a bit hard to work out where this meridian is starting, and I think what we've got to do is get away from the idea that it starts somewhere and goes in one direction. And that, if you think that, if you think it's going to go in a specific, you're going to get a bit haywire, because yes, we might say that it's starting down here, but then in another book it's going to be emerging at bladder 1 and going down. So the areas of influence are going to be the outer leg, eyes, sleeping problems, and possibly back along with the brain. Now this has become a lot more useful to me since I've had a brain injured child, because I can see with all the other brain injured children I work with now that the leg problems and the lack of development and the feet and so forth all comes along with the epilepsy, the sleeping problems, and the general developmental delay. And so they become a lot more real to you if you start seeing patients like this. And I have a patient at present dying of a brain tumour, and he started to sleep all through the day and be awake most of the night. Okay, so his yin and yang are, you might say, stuffed up a bit. Okay, and one treatment I gave him, I sedated kidney 6, which is the master point of yin chao, because he was sleeping all through the day, and that night he slept at night, and he was not as drowsy the next day, but then it reversed, and I think if he could have treatments twice a day, he'd be in a much better situation. But again, if you're treating somebody that ill, what you're not doing is treating a tumour. You're treating the person as you see him right then and there. And so you go by the symptomatology, and his legs have no use, he can't stand on them any longer, he has a problem in his brain. His eyes often get really red, and then I can just clear it using some acupuncture points. So this is all part of the general problem. And of course, sleeping's not too good. Has anyone used chao vessels before? As couples? Have you found them useful? Okay, well, I found them most helpful for the sleeping. I suspect in treating somebody with neurological damage, our problem would be we're not doing it twice daily, and we might only be seeing them once a week. And I think we'd start seeing effects if we were going bang, 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 using the same sort of treatment, not necessarily coupling them, but opening them up as a meridian, which we might do just by using points on that meridian, or we might do just by using the master point and using either points on that meridian or other points that might affect the same thing. So if, for example, you're looking at somebody who has problems getting to sleep, okay, we can say they've got excess yang in the head, and then the points we might think of using would be bladder 62, because it's the master point of Yang Chao. And also I'd say you'd also be using Yin Chang, which is just there. And you also use bladder 1, or you might not. And you might also use bladder 10, because I think that one's tied into it as well. And I recall one patient I had years ago who had blood pressure of 240 over 220, and he was unmedicated, and, you know, everybody was concerned about his eyes, and the poor guy could not sleep. And so he came in early in the morning, and he was in no shape, and I wasn't too sure about having him lying down, but anyway, all I did was sedate bladder 62. Now, I'm not sitting there going hell for leather like the Chinese stuff. I'm just doing Dr. Van Buren's idea, which is wu-wei things, which is one of the classical things of, you know, doing it with the breath and turning it clockwise or anti-clockwise, just really gently. And I stuck the yin tang and wandered off to do someone else. And I came back again. And, you know, when you touch somebody who's asleep, they carry on. So I rattled the door and I came in and I couldn't wake him up. And I thought, he's dead. he wasn't. He just took a lot of waking up. So I went off and came back about half an hour later, and he just had a sleep, and he was completely bamboozled because he couldn't sleep. The things do work. I don't know what happened to him, because I think he only came there once. So you can, you know, instead of sedating people's heart sevens and tonifying their spleen sixes and all the rest of them, you can use this in another form of treatment. Now, this would also apply to people who have really excess yang, not necessarily migraines, but excess headaches. And again, if you start using and maybe sedating small intestine 10, and maybe you might put small intestine 9 in again, because that points both on the yang wei and also the yang chao, and you might put in Governor Vessel 16, and you might also put in bladder 10, because as I said, I think they're connected to the chow vessels. Now, as I can't remember which reference said I was looking at today, said that the chow vessels originate in the brain, these two points work really strongly on the brain. And then the yin tang, well, we know from functions of the points, it clears the senses and calms things down and calms heat down, but it might be that the chow vessels are actually linking from bladder 1 over to yin tang and maybe going into the brain or whatever. And as I said, you don't have to sedate the hell out of bladder 62. You can just do a gentle technique on that. And again, it would be a matter of playing around with your pulses and seeing what you're doing with the pulses. So that's another indication you could use it for, and possibly also for the high blood pressure. And you might then also then be putting in special high blood pressure points and maybe liver yang points in people's ears. Okay, so that's without sedating liver 2, liver 3, and, you know, you might try an alternate approach. Any questions? Okay, that's a very quick run over Yang Chao. And after we've done Yin Chao, we'll have a break, because you'll look like you're wilting. I know the fans are on, but it's an oppressive sort of day. Okay, so going on to the Yin Chao now. Yin Chao is fairly simple because it's only got a couple of points. You can look at this as being a submeridian of the kidneys. We're starting at kidney 2, going to kidney 6, which we all know is a pretty major point, goes through kidney 8, which is its accumulation point, goes up the inside of the body like so. This chart doesn't show it, but it apparently goes through stomach 12 and 9, goes over to bladder 1, and I would say it's also going through yin tang and round the back, or through the brain, into bladder 10. It's going to be influencing the inner leg, the abdomen, and the genital area, and also the eyes. Now, unless you've got somebody with neurological damage, this business about legs isn't going to mean all that much to you. But you would notice that people who are spastic, if you like, are walking around like that. My daughter one time was quite straight, her hips and her knees, and over a period of about a month, she was walking like that, but her knees were facing forward and her hips were facing forward. Okay, now this is not a bone problem. This is a straight muscular problem, if you like, but what is controlling the muscles? The chow vessels. Okay? And so when you're looking at kids like that, sure enough, you could be going in and having pins put through them and calipers and all the rest of what the sorts of things they do at the spastic centre, but it would be more sensible to work on the muscle groups. So if you get involved in anybody with neurological problems, that's when this leg stuff will come useful to you. Otherwise, for the average functioning person like ourselves, we might just have the sleeping problems, but we may not get the leg problems. Now, the problem with yin chao with sleeping is that people sleep too much. Okay, so they've got excess yin in the head, not yang in the head. So the eyes shut, and that's that. Now, we could waffle on about insubstantial phlegm. Yep, that might be going on too. But we're just talking about kidney chi at the moment, so we'll say there's excess yin in the head. That doesn't mean we want to sedate the yin out. It means of the body. It means we have a blockage. Things aren't working properly. Now, whether we're going to go into working with window to the sky points or not, that would probably be another alternate way to fix it, but we're not using that paradigm today. So just in sticking with master and couple points, what we'd be doing is actually sedating kidney six. Now, we might also put yin tang in again, but we'd be sedating kidney six for the person who was sleeping too much in the day, if you like to drag the yin down. Now, I had a cousin years ago who got something akin to sleeping sickness, and she slept all day. Nobody knew what was wrong with her. Now, I would suspect if she could have had decent treatment back then, that might have helped. It was actually a wonky batch of vaccine. This is going back 20-odd years, or it was probably 40 years ago when she had the vaccine. But in her case, it just destroyed the brain. So you'd be seeing one-off cases when this sort of thing would be apparent, because most people aren't in the state of feeling sleepy all the time. We could go into a dissertation about why people feel tired, and it might be boredom, and it might be constrained liver qi, and it might be insubstantial phlegm. So you have to discount all them. But if you're left with a more neurological problem, then you're looking at possibly sedating kidney six and using yin tang. Now, the other use you've got for yin chao is in this abdominal area, particularly with women. So you might be having somebody who's late, you know, they're pregnant and it's not starting. That's possibly when you're actually going to use this as a coupled meridian. And this sort of information is in this book here, and it's also in the Matsumoto one. You know, they give you lists and lists and lists and lists of symptoms, and within that is the gynecological and the obstetric stuff. So the average person may not see a lot of use for yin chao mo, but it's particularly relevant in the gynecological and also in the sleeping if you don't see brain injured people. Okay, anybody got any queries or thoughts? You mean she got it here in Brisbane?
Pardon?
Did she get it here in Brisbane?
In the Brisbane area.
Ah, okay.
And I treated her for that, and she strengthened. She was very weak, and I really asked her, don't go back to work, don't go back to work.
She had to afford your fees, you see. Yeah.
And then she came down about 2 weeks later with this MS-like thing where she was paralysed on one side, the paralysis went away, went to the other side. The first side was then normal. Now what she's having a great deal of difficulty with is the whole of the right side of the body. And it's amazing by doing local work that I can actually switch on the muscles that she then gains control over and can work on. I'll be working on the hand.
What about threading on the scalp? That might be the quicker way to doing it. And then again, what you'd be doing is you'd be choosing which meridian you were targeting, and it might be small intestine 3 working on do, or you might think, okay, she caught something, and if it started off with the caught something, but it sounds like you've got a few different things going on there. If you thought it was something that was caught, then you might be starting 3 to 5 and working that way, but it sounds like it more might be either small intestine 3 or bladder 62. And then from there, once you've got that going, and you might put in, see, this is using it creatively. While you've got them, you've actually got her lying like so, and you're getting right stuck into the governor vessel, because after all, if it's a neurological problem, you're going to have to look at what's happening to the brain. If any points along here are sore when you palpate them, then I'm a bit gung-ho. I throw a needle in and mock for the hell out of it to get it all moving, particularly up here using 14 and 16. I don't mock the 16, actually, but, you know, using them, and you've opened up the governor vessel to start with, and then that's the beginning of the treatment. And then after that, then you'd fiddle around with the muscles, and I think that would be stronger, because it's like you've activated the chi up, and you might actually have started with governor vessel 1. You know, you've got small intestine, you've got the governor vessel 1, and you've got them lying on their side, so you're doing all that, and boom, 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 up they go, and massage the hell out of it to get it moving. And that's the whole point. I think you've got to get in with your fingers and get things moving. It's no good just putting a needle in, because our patients usually can't handle screwing the needles up like you might be able to do in China. So therefore, if we get in, they're going to feel better because you're getting stuck in. Now, while I say that, gallbladder 29 and also gallbladder 30 is tied up to just about every other 8 extra meridian. So, okay, where do people store sexual tension? Women store untold fat and cellulite and all the rest of it. Now, how do we expect to just put a needle in here and a needle in there and everything's going to flow properly when we've got the substantial phlegm gunging up the works? Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon, and that's why I'm saying you don't just get in with the needles and the moxa, but you're also massaging at the same time, and it takes longer, and you might end up just doing one person at a time instead of two or three, but you probably find that it will be quicker on the results because you'll be attacking everything, and you know, be probably sticking in ear points in the poor woman as well to target again special areas that I thought I was using at the time. Any other thoughts or queries? Okay, well, I suggest you take a 10-minute break because you're all looking terribly jaded. Pardon?
These are the only ones, Harley, you've got. Once they've gone, they've gone. I would strongly suggest you have a look at them, particularly the phlegm information. No, they're over there.
Ran and do all together because they're really major. Now, the most important thing to realise once we get on to the three last ones is to look at their pathways. Pathways is the most important aspect. So the first one we're going to look at is dye. That's really easy. Goes around the waist like a belt. Without getting too technical about where it starts and stops and so forth, some books don't tell you liver 13. I think you should consider liver 13 as a point, along with gallbladder 26, 27 and 28, connecting up everything like a cinch belt. Okay, so what might this be used for? For leg circulation problems, for lumbar problems, and particularly for vaginal discharge problems. So that was leg circulation problems, back problems, particularly lumbar, and vaginal discharge problems. It does go a lot further than that, though. Now, this book here is extremely interesting, and I really suggest you all go out and get a copy. And in one, somewhere in there, it keeps on quoting from the Su Wen and so forth, and in one place it says, the Yellow Emperor asked, if there's weakness in the legs, why do we treat the stomach meridian? Okay. Why do we treat the stomach meridian? Well, the answer was that the Chung Mo is the ocean of meridians, and I know we haven't dealt with that yet, but we're going to get to dye at the end of it. Chung Mo moistens the valleys. The Yang Ming, which is the stomach meridian, can control the Chung Mo Mai and the Zong muscle. Now the Zong muscle is either the clitoris or the penis, or sometimes it's considered to be the muscles of the abdomen, but there is a ligament that goes around the base of the penis, so that whole sort of area is supposed to be controlled by Chung Mo, which we'll do shortly. Anyway, the stomach meridian controls the Chung and that muscle indirectly, and all belong to the Dai Mo. So the point is, it doesn't matter which is called what, the fact of the matter is the Dai connects everything. And as the dye goes right round. If you've got a weakness around here, you're using the stomach meridian, but they're still tying it back to the fact that it's got a dye connection. Okay, so even though you're using the stomach muscle for weakening, they're saying it's, you need to use that because the dye is weak, which I thought was strange. Why wouldn't you just go and use it in gallbladder 41? But probably gallbladder 41, if you've got weak legs, is not too useful. And maybe using the gallbladder points along here is not too useful, but you're then going to think very laterally and go into stomach points. Because any meridian that's going to go up and down here, and the reason you're using stomach points is also when we get into the Chung, is because stomach 30 is an absolutely major point, which could be argued is where your Ren, your Du, and your Chung all get source energy from, which then comes back into the older works we were teaching from, which was that the stomach 30 and 36 together was sea of nourishment. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so going back to dye, when I personally use this is when people don't feel connected between upper and lower particularly. Now, one case I recall years ago, I've told students before, but the poor guy came in and one of his major problems was that he completely felt empty here. He just felt hollow. He was actually a psychotherapist worker, and so I guess he was more in tune with how he felt than most people. And so he just felt hollow here, but also he hated his penis. Now, it might sound like a silly symptom, but he really didn't like it, and it was sort of a large, swollen, purple red all the time, and he just didn't like it. Okay, so there's obviously a liver low meridian or tendinomuscular meridian problem in there. And I can't remember very much about other treatments, but in one particular treatment I decided, right, I'm going to work on this imbalance between the upper and the lower. So again, I used it as a meridian, not coupling. And I put in gallbladder 41 on both sides, and then I coupled up all of these points. Okay, I think I started liver 13, one liver 13, the other one, one gallbladder 26, the other, then 27, 27, 28, 28, and got them to breathe into this area. And that was probably about the most powerful treatment I've ever given anybody. Now, you know, I'm not saying it's going to work like this with anybody, but he had an amazing emotional reaction. But, you know, you'd expect it because that's his job. And also, I had done a good job of opening it up and then really opening up. Then I got him to breathe into it. Now, after that treatment, he felt connected again. I must say, I didn't have the skills to deal with what was going on. This is always a bit interesting, and I suppose we all face this one. But I particularly use this when people have got genital problems. You know, and they might have congested, I don't know, you might say, why don't we go to Chong? Well, we might do Chong as well, but when people have got congested everything around here, this might be a way of doing it. You might also mox a needle on, say, CV4 and 6. And while you've got all those needles in, you're also heating that up. And as I said before, with that guy that I treated for his sperm, you might have worked on here first to get it going. Now, those bladder sacral points, particularly if you go in 1.5 inches and mox them, have a deep hormonal effect on the system. And then you're working on the front part of it. Okay, and I think that would strengthen greatly if you considered what 8 extras might be working in that area. So you might look at dye one particular time, and you might another time be thinking, why don't we go to Chong? And it might also be Yin Chao that you might be dealing with. So if you were thinking, I'm going to work on the Yin Chao component of the genital area, then you'd put in kidney 6 to sort of get it going again. But maybe kidney 8 would be the one you'd use rather than kidney 6, because that's the accumulation point. So you go back to thinking, what are the functions of different points on meridians? And kidney 8 is important. And just a point on kidney 8 and kidney 9, if you look in the Dr. Van Buren hormonal stuff in the back of my book there, you'll see that there's a whole lot of point indications you've never seen before, like action on involuntary muscles and so forth. And I once had a patient who was coming off methadone cold turkey, and I gave her 13 treatments in 4 days, and that was really interesting. You know, if you want to really see acupuncture work, you get somebody who's acutely ill or has a very interesting problem, and you treat what's on the couch. It's got nothing to do with who said what about methadone or heroin addiction. It's what's going on right there. And it was a long time ago, but I recall at one stage she had really interesting lung symptoms, like shivering and, you know, running clear mucus. And I think I just sedated bladder 12, not 13, but 12, and moxed governor vessel 14, and that completely cleared up. And then she'd get another symptom, you know, as I was chasing symptoms. I'd fix one up, and that'd go, and I'd get another one, I'd fix that one, and then I'd get another one. And I think about on the second or third day, she couldn't sleep at night. And when I say she couldn't sleep, it was like there was this incredible nervous energy, and she was really tired and buggered. And I was controlling the methadone addiction, if you like, with the needles, but she desperately wanted to sleep and couldn't. So in that particular person, I got it in that book, and I can't remember from, you know, it's sketchy from memory, but I know she had governor vessel 1, and I did couple up, and I think I coupled up both Dumo and Yang Chao, but it's, as I said, it's in the book, and she had governor vessel 1, and she went to sleep. And I thought, well, we can't leave her on the couch with needles in. I mean, if I'd left her with needles on the floor asleep, but not on the couch. So I took the needles in, and that was it. She couldn't go back to sleep again. And it was about 2 in the morning, I guess. And then I tried all sorts of things, and nothing worked until about 6 in the morning, when, if you like, it came more of a yang time of day, and the insufficient yin she had was overrun by the yang, and then she was right again. And, you know, it's really interesting if you start treating people in the funny hours of the morning, because you can see more what this Chinese clock stuff's all about. But other treatments I used with her were to tonify her yin by using either kidney 8 by itself or kidney 9 by itself. And that sorted out an awful lot of this peripheral tension. So they're really important points which are not used in TCM. And I first worked that kidney 9 out, going back to the Yin Wei Mo accumulation point, in a friend who was nearly killed in a car accident when she was pregnant, in that she was standing at the door saying goodbye to someone, and the car went straight, you know, across the gutter, through the fence, and hit the house. So she was standing next to where the car, and she came in the next day for her normal treatment, and funny enough, she was a bit sort of jittery, and she thought that the baby was a bit upset, and I'd gone off and done Dr. Shen seminars, and I knew what in utero shocks had effects they had on babies, so I thought, well, it's not 6 months yet, but I'll stick in kidney 9, and I put in kidney 9, and that's all I did. And she said instantly she felt the baby relax and her uterus relax, and she felt relaxed. And, you know, in using these things, it became real to me. So I'd suggest it's not just when people are tense. Maybe you can use this when people have had a shock. You don't necessarily have to keep on hitting heart 7 for the rest of your life. You can think this alternative paradigm, which is the 8 extras, which supervise and link the 12, okay? And as I said before, the yin way tonifies the blood and the yin really deeply in the body. So you don't have to use the heart, pericardium, liver, spleen, kidney meridians. You could go just straight to yin way mo and work on the accumulation point and tonify it. And you might put in pericardium 6 at the same time, because that's the master point and that might help it. And you might also fiddle around on you know, you ran at the same time. Okay, so I went off on a tangent while I was talking about the dye. So it's a matter of seeing them as meridians. And this particular meridian is very useful, I have decided, not just coupling it, but putting in the master points and all its points, getting them to visualize in here after you've done massage work. You know, I'd always do the massage work on the back and in the front, then as a final sort of icing, if you like, then I liberate it all. Like, I've got in, I've moved all the substantial and insubstantial, and then I put the energy in later, and at the same time, I might have given them bark flowers, I might have used colour therapy or, you know, whatever else I might be using. Because the aim of the exercise is to clear it out. And it's not just clear it out physically, but clear it out on all levels. Classically, they say that the symptomatology of dymo is for when the person feels like they're sitting in cold water. Now, all right, but, you know, we can just think maybe that's the person feels cold from their down. Okay, there is a circulatory problem between the upper and the lower. And the women who are incredibly large from here down, that might very well be not just a chung mo and a, you know, substantial phlegm problem, but a cutting of here and here. If you notice, they're sort of thinner here and very obese here, so you're going to have to get that working. And I'd say that's when you get stuck into the massage and the moxa like crazy. And sometime down the track, then you might put in the gallbladder 41 and these points in conjunction with other treatments, which might be working on spleen 4 as chung mo points. Okay. Dymo also is supposed to be good for lumbar problems. And when you think about it, it's coming around here and connects up to the kidney separate meridian. So that might be one case when you're working locally with massage and moxa, and then at the end of that person's back treatment, then you couple up dymo. And you might have relevant ear needles in there as well. I think it's not going to hurt to use insurance. That's the way I view these things. Any points or questions on dye before I move on? Yeah.
I found a shingle extremely good. I use master couple and do it bilaterally, so perhaps I'm not actually using the...
Yeah, well, you don't have to, because they're really major points anyway.
But they're
and you're talking about body shingles, not up here
yeah,
I guess, aren't you?
The true belt shingles.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think this is again the shortcut business of the dye is linking up everything, separate to the fact usually you've got your liver contamination, and then your 3 heater 6 is usually the point that you'd use to destagnate this area. But then 3 heater 5, then you're looking at, if you go back to shingles far enough, you've got chicken pox. What's chicken pox? Chicken pox is a pestilential chi that's come in and it's lodged in the system. And we're going back again to this reservoir function. So what you're doing is you're tapping right back into there and trying to clear it out. And I've tended to find if I work locally first and get in and move a whole lot of things, then as I said, at the end of the process, then I couple up. And I think that's maybe why in the Dr. Van Buren information they say using coupling only after 5 treatments. It wasn't when all else fails so much, as you might have that in mind, that you're going to couple down here, but you've got to clear out the crap first. And when you get to a point where you think now it's relevant, now you use it, as opposed to doing it first off. Now, I very rarely use an 8 extra treatment coupled on someone the first time I see them. I do it occasionally, And the times you might be doing that with, say, Yang Wei, would be when, as I said, somebody's coming and they've got acute Ross River, acute, maybe even malaria. Malaria would be more due, I think. Acute mumps or something. I don't know that you'd do that with measles, but mumps is more lateral. So it's worth a thought. And as I said, you know, you go back to the function of the point. Gallbladder 41 down there is to harmonise liver and gallbladder function. So even, you know, you can argue, is it the 8 extra work or is it specialised functions?
So a differential diagnosis, if you wanted to look at a situation where somebody has a shingles condition, which is very hot and damp, would you be better off using, say, Yang Wei?
It would depend on...
It would depend.
See, like, it might be the first time they've ever got it. And that might then be when you'd be using the Yang Wei more. And it might be that they haven't got a hot, damp one. They've got a recurring one because of deficient blood and deficient yin. And it's like a chronic genital herpes. It's just coming every time they run down. And then you might be, that time, looking at sedating kidney 9 to clear out toxins. And then you might be building up yin some other way in the body. See, it's a bit hard to say. And then if you've got more of a damp thing, I guess you could always say, why don't we do something with chong? But not again, sedating probably more the master point and using ancillary points, again, rather than coupling. So coupling's not something that I'd say you're doing, but you're more playing with them as a meridian. But you've got to understand the pathway first, and we've done easy pathways up to now. Now we're going to go into ones that have got branches in all directions. And that's more interesting. So I've finished with dye. As I said, this is a quick through everything. What I'm going to do now is do, because I found a book today that told me that do went up the front, not the back. Just one of the channels was up the back, but most of its energy came up the front. And I thought, good, because if you go back to the Qigong stuff, they have things going in the directions that we acupuncturists don't say it does, if you look at main meridian energetic stuff. So here we go with the do now. We all know it goes up the back, okay? That's easy. And then where is it going to be influencing? Well, the back muscles, the spine, the neck, and the head. Okay, Governor Vessel 1 is the low point, and that sends a course of meridian up there, up into Governor Vessel 16. So some headaches, particularly around the atlas axis area, probably will be spectacularly fixed by just putting in Governor Vessel 1. It is a major point. People have a tendency not to want to put it in because of where it is, and I guess I was taught by John Valtheim for 2.5 years, so consequently I'm no stranger to the point, and it works exceptionally well. It's very good at clearing out necks. I once did it to a guy in his first treatment. He didn't come back, funnily enough. He probably thought, what the hell is that woman doing? That was, well, I don't know whether it was fixed in one or freaked out in one, but he didn't come back again. But to me, that was the perfect treatment. I'd suggest you don't do that. I'd suggest you get a bit of a rapport up to somebody before you start doing that. But he had specifically a neck just there. And that was where all his pain was coming from. Okay, you can look at the symptomatology of Governor Vessel 1. It talks about heavy feelings in the head and also, you know, all sorts of various things. The other point that's really major is Governor Vessel 16. Internal branches then go into the brain, all over the place in there. That is a major point for brain. Now, that's fine. You've seen that stuff before, but as I said, we've also got the low meridians ascending the back in parallel lines. Some books say it starts in the uterus and it goes to conception vessel 1, so its first point is not GV1, but conception vessel 1. This is a big problem because women routinely are shot to hell, first or second babies there. This is going to radically change their energy flow around. This is without getting into discussion about what's happening in their uterus. This is just the scar bridging stuff, which I might talk about. Now, I've written there that there are branches that ascend both sides of the spine separate to the low meridian, and there's an anterior branch going up the ren, up with the ren and through the genital area. Now, Governor Vessel 1 is an absolutely major point which John Valtheim used to use on just about everybody, particularly to calm them down. It actually does a good job of calming people down. It calms them down because it clears out obstructions from the do and also from the ren and from the chong. Now, if I'm going to deal with anybody's fertility, gynecological problems, the poor things are going to get Governor Vessel 1. If they've got arthritic hips, they ain't going to get it. It just about doesn't matter what somebody's coming in with at some stage, I'm going to use it, not because I'm silly, but because I know it does such a damn good job. Now, his idea was it did a wonderful job of neurotic businessmen. And he'd put in Governor Vessel 1 and left Liver 8, which is also the treatment for yin depression, and they'd go out feeling marvellous. Do remember to take it out. Well, he didn't once, and some old guy came back in like this, and the needle was... He sat on it. Yes, he wasn't impressed. I don't know whether he went back to him or not. I've never left one in, and it would be easy, because you don't see it. You know, if you've got them lying on their side, and you might have them covered up so they feel a bit better, and you've got that one in, and you might get distracted and leave it there. So it's not a good one to leave in. Governor Vessel 1 is wonderful for clearing obstructions all along the back. So you might be going to use it not just for the back of the neck problem, because it's a low point, but because it's going to clear all the obstructions of any spinal problem. It's also going to clear any obstructions in the front. And when it's going to clear out obstructions in the front, that's going to be any abdominal, whether it's intestinal or reproductive. And I suspect it's also going to be